Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. This morning we look at the word strangers. And I emphasize that they were people of a different character than those among whom they lived. They were God's people living among the devil's people. They were saved people living among lost people. And Peter writes to them and tells them that he understands their position in the world, and he encourages them, as he did in verse 11 of chapter 2, as strangers and pilgrims, to abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. He said, now you people ought to live in such a way as to present a different style of life and to give credibility to the God and to the Christ you're preaching. What we say with our mouths ought to be reinforced and emphasized by the lives we live. We say we love God, and we say that we are for something, then the life we live ought to emphasize that instead of negating it and taking away from it. And Peter tells them, now you're strangers and you're living among heathens and pagans, Gentile people who are lost, whose fleshly lusts they're always willing and anxious to fulfill, but you live your life in such a way that they cannot accuse you of engaging in the same ungodly and sinful things that they engage in. Give credibility to your ministry. Strangers. And Peter refers to them as scattered. This word scattered is diaspora, or dispersion, and it's a word that the Jewish element or segment of the church was certainly familiar with, because the Septuagint had translated their being scattered as the dispersion or the diaspora, and they were quite familiar with this word and its meaning. It means a sowing hither and thither, a scattering as of seed. Dispersed. You understand that word that comes from diaspora. A scattering hither and thither, a scattering as of seed. Dispersing. Perhaps you have seen someone sowing some seed, as the people who lived a few years ago sowed seeds by what we term broadcasting. Maybe you've seen photographs of the sower, famous painting, man with a bag on his shoulder and seed in the bag, and he would take hands full of seed and scatter them. That's exactly what the word scatter or disperse means. Diaspora, to scatter, to sow. And this is the thing that the Jewish people feared more than anything else. They feared being scattered. If you'll turn with me, please, to the book of Leviticus, the 22nd chapter, I'd like to show you something. And I'm hunting, Brother Goodwin, just as fast as I can. I know. It got me nervous now when I'm trying to preach, trying to find a book in the Bible. I'm going to just let on sometimes, like, yeah, here it is, you know. That's it. All right. Leviticus 26. I agree with everything he said this morning. Leviticus chapter 26. And verse 11, now, I'm not going to read all of this. I simply want to point out some of the truths that are here. Notice in verse 11 that God is speaking to the nation of Israel, I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen. You know, they were strangers. Now he's brought them out, and he has established them in a land, and he has said, I'll build my tabernacle in your midst, and I'll walk among you, and I'll be your God, and you shall be my people. Now notice in verse 16. Well, in 15 he says, and if ye shall despise my statutes. Now he's giving the other side of the coin. If you do the things that I command you to do, if you keep my covenants, if you walk according to the way that I direct, I will do all these things. But if you will not, if you despise my statutes, and if you abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant. Now notice, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning of that shall consume the eye and cause sorrow of heart. And ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. That sounds like a terrible form of chastisement, consumption, which was a lung disease. The people would turn black from lack of oxygen, and they would be filled with sorrow, and they would sow their seed in the fields, but enemies would not allow them to reap it. And I'll set my face against you, and ye shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and ye shall flee when none pursueth. He gives them a bad conscience. And when anything is done or said, they run and hide or flee because their conscience bothers them continually because of their sins. Now he said, if you'll not yet for all this hearken unto me, then will I punish you seven times more for your sins. And I'll break the pride of your power. I'll make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, and your land shall not yield. Verse 22, I also will send wild beasts among you. Notice that. Verse 25, and I'll bring a sword upon you. And verse 26 states, and when I've broken the staff of your bread. Verse 29, and ye shall eat the flesh of your sons and daughters. Now that's a terrible punishment that these people become so hungry that they would eat the flesh of their own sons and their own daughters. Verse 31, I'll make your cities waste. Notice verse 33. And I will scatter you among the heathen. God said, if you won't do what I've told you to do, I'll scatter you. After I've punished you every way that I can, if that won't work, then I'll scatter you. At that time, scattering Israel was punishment. But at that time, Israel was a nation. Jerusalem would be the capital, and the temple would be there. And Israel was to be an evangelistic nation by loving and serving God, so that all the people who came through Israel, Jerusalem was a crossroads of the world, and they would be an object lesson of God's love and blessing, and they would preach the gospel of the coming Messiah as they functioned as the crossroads of the world. All the people of the world going back and forth in caravans, crossing back and forth. They were to be a nation that would stay together. They were to maintain the temple worship as God has commanded. And because of this, they would evangelize the world simply by staying as they should in one place and doing what they should. But God was not listened to. God's warning was ignored. And these people were scattered. And they look upon it as the most terrible time in their lives. And finally, God kept his promise to them, and he's kept it ever since he made the covenant and promise with Abraham. And Jeremiah reminded them, "Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth a flock." God scattered them, and he did it to collect. They weren't keeping the Sabbath rest of the land. And God said, "Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths." What these people didn't realize that when they farmed their land straight through, without ever allowing it to rest, as God had commanded on the seventh year, they thought they were making extra money. They thought they were doing what they had to do. But you know, God took it off the other end. And I've seen people who lived their lives without any reference to the commandments of God, and they thought they had to do this, and they thought they couldn't serve God, they couldn't tithe, they couldn't give, they couldn't visit, they couldn't do the things God told them to do. And God took it off the other end. Strange. When Jesus came, he saw Israel as a scattered nation, but they were all together. They looked upon themselves as a regathered and revitalized, reinvigorated and revival, and a nation in spiritual revival. They looked upon themselves as doing the will of Jehovah God. But when Jesus came and looked upon them, notice how he saw them in Matthew the 9th chapter. Matthew 9, verse 36. But when he, now this is Jesus, saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted. And the word that's translated fainted there means that they were tired and lay down. Now Jesus saw the multitudes, and he saw them tired and lying down. People frustrated with life, and people who had no sense of direction, people who had given up. And Jesus looked on them and saw them as such a people, a scattered people. They were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." Now notice the next injunction. "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." Jesus said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." You know, I ask myself the question, why? Why are the laborers few? Why are the laborers few? Is it that God has called us to do something we can't do? Is it that God is laying burdens upon our backs that he has no right to lay there? Why are the laborers few? Jesus said that was true in his age, that Israel was scattered as sheep that had no shepherd, and the laborers were few. And he said, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest." Would you feel offended if I prayed for your son to surrender to the ministry? Called your son's name and prayed that he would be a preacher? Could you join in by saying, "Amen, Brother Penn, that's what I'd want more than anything else in the world. My son to be a preacher. And I've been praying all of his life since the day he was born that he would be a preacher." Or would you want your daughter to marry a missionary or a preacher? Have you been praying that your daughter would marry a man of God? Recently, a man asked me about a young man and said, "Brother Penn, do you think so-and-so is called to preach?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." And he said, "Do you think that if he is, that he'll surrender?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." And his reply was, "I wouldn't blame him." Now, he was being kind and just assessing the situation. He wasn't being critical. And the reason he made the statement was that he could see the heartache of the ministry. And he could see the misunderstanding of the ministry. And the glass house lie of the ministry. And it was just didn't seem appealing to put yourself in that kind of position. And it seems strange that we should be reluctant to pray and call the names of men who are preachers who are not preaching. It seems strange that we do not pray that God, in His wisdom, would pull them out from the church to many places in the world to preach the gospel. And I'm proud of men like Brother Travis Judkins, who plans to go and preach, not looking for the church to become a rest home and just wait. And God says we ought to pray, that the church ought to pray. And as men receive their education, they ought to be sent out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's strange to me that when Jesus wanted His disciples to stand with Him, they scattered. If you'll read in John the 16th chapter, verse 32, you'll find that the shepherd was smitten and the sheep were scattered. "Behold, the hour cometh. Yes, is now come that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own," and that means his own house, "and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." When Jesus needed them to stand with Him, they scattered. And after His crucifixion, when the gospel needed to be preached, instead of scattering as He commanded, they wanted to stay in one place. That ought to tell you something about God's people. They wanted to do exactly opposite of what God wanted them to do. When Jesus needed them around Him, they scattered. When He needed them to scatter, they gathered at Jerusalem and wouldn't leave. And it was a commandment of Jesus that the church, Matthew 28:18-20, was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And this command was spoken again and broadened in Acts, the first chapter. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in," now notice, "Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." Now, who's He talking to? Notice, until the day in which he was taken, verse 2 of, after that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. He said, I want you to go to Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. I want you to scatter. But as you continue to read the book of Acts, when you come to the sixth chapter of the book of Acts, you'll find that a great congregation is still gathered at Jerusalem. They have not scattered. And I often wonder that if one of the reasons that there were murmurings in the church at Jerusalem was because they had not scattered according to the commandment of God. There had been a multiplication of the disciples in Jerusalem. We don't know how large the church was. Several thousand people in Jerusalem. And I rather suspect that if everyone had been doing what they should have been doing and had been where God had directed them, there would have already been a scattering and the murmurings would never have occurred. But they were content to gather and to sit. And since they wouldn't scatter, God had a contingency plan. He always does have. Look at Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. And you know, it's a strange thing. In the book of Acts, the first chapter, he called the apostles. Now just look. Verse 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he showed himself. And, you know, they were there. And he had told them to scatter. Now you'll notice that persecution rose against the church at Jerusalem and they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. I really don't understand all the implications of that. But this is the occasion of these people to whom Peter is writing, this is the reason that they were scattered abroad, is that persecution arose. And they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of what? Judea and Samaria, and they were also scattered to the uttermost parts of the known world, fleeing from persecution. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore they were scattered abroad and went everywhere preaching the word. The word preaching here in verse 4 is the word we get evangelist from. And it means to bring a joyful message, to proclaim something to somebody as a glad message of salvation. Some people have the idea that preaching the gospel is telling everyone you meet they're going to hell. But I've said a number of times, that's not good news. That's bad news. You know, really the thing we need to do is to bear the joyful news that there's an answer to death. And there's an answer to our emptiness. And there's an answer to the sorrow. And there's an emptiness, or rather an answer to these problems that face mankind. And that answer is Jesus Christ. It's a joyful message. And these people, as they were scattered, preached this message. Did it work? God's way always works. Look at Acts chapter 11, verses 19 and 21. Acts chapter 11, verses 19, 20, 21. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas, Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. But some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was upon them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Yes, it worked. Now, as God's people, we're to scatter. Now, under the Old Testament economy, they built a huge temple. They built an altar. And they had priests who ministered at the altar and a high priest who went into the holy place. And they were commanded to keep the laws. And they were commanded to keep the ordinances, commanded to keep the sacrifices as God had given them to them. They were to stay there and faithfully do it. Then Jesus Christ came to this earth, fulfilled every prophecy of the Old Testament of His life, of His birth, His life, and His death. Took the law out of the way, nailed it to the cross, fulfilled every jot and tittle of it, and became our high priest. And the Old Testament temple services were fulfilled. The law was fulfilled. And now people did not need to stay in Jerusalem. They didn't need to gather there. Now the commandment was to scatter. Since they wouldn't do it voluntarily, they were scattered by persecution. And as God's people today, we are to scatter and to gather. That is, we're to go out and to bring in. In Luke, the 11th chapter and verse 23, you'll notice this. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Now that's not the kind of scattering that Jesus needs. That's not the kind of scattering I'm talking about. I'm talking about me and you. And each of us to scatter out into the world. To preach the good news. Power of Jesus Christ over the problems of mankind. When we do that, we'll be gathering for Jesus. In the book of Matthew, you have a similar statement. It's just a little bit different. The 12th chapter of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. There are some things that are meant to be scattered, and there are some things that are meant to be gathered. And the things that are meant to be scattered, such as seed, are out of place, gathered in the barn. And the old prophet asked, why are the seeds yet in the barn?
And then things that are meant to be gathered are out of place when they're scattered, such as sheep. A 100 sheep that have been scattered all over the landscape are not as they are supposed to be. And seed in the bag, when the harvest or the planting time is ready, is out of place. Let me put it this way. In the springtime, we sow. And in the fall, we gather. And in the springtime, to hold our hands and not to sow is wrong. When the harvest is plenteous and the labors are few, it's wrong for us to not go out and gather that which must be gathered. So in order for us to gather, we must scatter. And these people had scattered. And they were strangers. But they were where God wanted them. Are you, Brother Baker?